Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Kimberly Dvorak, coming up after the bottom of the hour, and she's going to be broadcasting live on Facebook. Just a reminder, we'll be talking about events in France revealing something new in the offing. By the way, Kimberly, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. In the second hour, it's Selwyn Duke, writer for The New America, and all of his latest, including how the left plans to put boots on the ground to subdue Middle America. Wow. Good news. Representative Liz Cheney today is gone. Yes. And as she leaves, she says, she will do everything I can to ensure that former President Donald Trump does not win the presidency again. After she was ousted from the House GOP leadership for her repeated broadsides against him, I will do anything and everything to ensure the former president never, never, ever again gets anywhere near the Oval Office. All right, and I say adios, Rhino, Republican in name only. All right. Well, Palestinian terror groups in the Gaza Strip fired massive barrages of rockets at southern Israel throughout yesterday, wounding at least 24 people, drawing deadly retaliatory airstrikes from the Israeli Defense Forces. The Hamas terror group claimed at one stage that it fired 137 rockets in around 5 minutes in a massive barrage that was an apparent attempt to overwhelm the Iron Dome missile defense system. 4 people injured in that one, including one critically, another in serious condition. With a number of buildings in Ascalon suffering direct hits over the course of the day and concerns over the number of residential buildings in the cities without bomb shelters, the Israeli Defense Forces instructed residents to remain in reinforced areas. The assaults continued after a night of almost constant rocket fire on Israeli communities near the Gaza Strip, and as the IDF conducted strikes on more than 100 targets in the coastal enclave as part of what has been called Operation Guardian of the Walls, military said. The previous day saw a major outbreak of violence from Gaza, including rare rocket fire on Jerusalem, where Palestinians have been clashing with police for days. According to Gaza's Hamas-run health ministry, at least 23 people in the Strip were killed Monday night and Tuesday, including 9 minors. Another 107 Palestinians were injured to varying degrees, the ministry said. The IDF said at least 15 of those killed were members of the Hamas terror group who were launching rockets or anti-tank guided missiles at Israel. By the way, I'll have a further update on that tomorrow from David Rubin, live from Israel, reporting on all of it. And more on that story because, you know, there is the squad. Representative Rashid Tlaib, Democrat, Michigan, quoted, the United States must ensure that its tax dollars are not going in support of an Israeli apartheid act in Jerusalem. She tweeted this over the weekend against the Israeli violence towards Palestinians in Jerusalem. And then, of course, another member of the squad put in her rant, and that's Representative Omar, Democrat, Minnesota. She tweeted against the Israeli police use of tear gas in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound on Temple Mount, known to the Muslims as El Haram al-Sharif. This is happening as Muslims pray, families who pray all night during Ramadan. The mosque is like home. Palestinians deserve to find refuge in a mosque and peace in Ramadan. All right, so tune in tomorrow and we'll get a whole lowdown on that. By the way, attorney Matthew DiPerno filed his latest findings on the circuit court for Antrim County. DiPerno told the court Monday that he now has proof of voter fraud and requested the court to allow him to broaden his investigation. The major Michigan election fraud case has just filed a bombshell, pleading, claiming, and votes were intentionally switched from President Trump to Joe Biden. The number of votes is massive, and detrimentive. This will prove true in numerous other states. All Republicans must unify and not let this happen. If a thief robs a jewelry store of all its diamonds, the 2020 presidential election, then the diamonds must be returned. The fake news media refuses to cover the greatest election fraud in history of our country. They have lost all credibility, but ultimately they will have no choice. And that, surprisingly not, statement by President Trump. And from Arizona, interesting here that Maricopa County officials are refusing to provide routers and passwords to the Senate auditors. Apparently, they don't want the public to know where the data was sent and when it was sent. Joe Hoff reports, and here it is. We received a report over the weekend, dated May 3, from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, directed to the audit team in Maricopa County, explaining that they just weren't able to provide routers requested by the auditors. They also share that they had provided all the passwords they had to the audit crew. We noted that the sheriff of Maricopa County, Paul Pinzone, was CCD'd in the letter. He is probably better known for the $2 million in support from George Soros, you know, in 2016, in the deep state's efforts to see that Sheriff Joe lose for the first time in seven elections. Now, this was reported in Arizona at the time when Paul Pinzone ran for Maricopa County Sheriff in 2016. He famously received a $2 million contribution from billionaire George Soros, the liberal philanthropist's single biggest investment in a local race that year. The Democratic ex-Phoenix police officer won the race, stopping Republican Joe Arpaio from obtaining that seventh term in office. Now then, a few points here. The first bone of contention is in the first paragraph of the response letter where the county claims that delivering routers or virtual images of routers pose a significant security risk to law enforcement data utilized by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. You know, that's where what's-his-name is in charge, you know, the one that George Soros put into office. So, and also other numerous federal agencies. We had previously believed the risk would be eliminated by redacting the law enforcement data on the routers and not producing it. Well, this response is very questionable because based on our discussion with experts, this is from the writer of this article, Joe Hoff, routers only show the traffic going between entities. Routers record date and timestamps of traffic flow to and from entities, and these timestamps are by the second and are not editable. Based on the response of the county, it doesn't want the auditors to see where the data was transferred to and from related to the 2020 election. And it goes on, providing routers or virtual images of routers puts sensitive confidential data belonging to the Maricopa County citizens, including Social Security numbers, protected health information at risk as well. As a result, the county cannot at this time provide the virtual images of routers. The county knows that the Senate would not want to do anything that would endanger the lives of law enforcement officers, their operations, or protected health information and personal data of Maricopa County citizens. Well, listen, since the routers don't record and save the information transferred and from the county, it's not possible to see any data with Social Security numbers and health info in routers. And this is total BS, according to the experts. The third paragraph basically says, we'll keep looking at the issue, and if we find a way to safely provide you the data, we'll let you know. That's more BS. In the fourth and final paragraph of the county address, their inability to provide passwords. Quote, additionally, you wrote to me April 30th asking the county to provide additional passwords, usernames, and or security keys utilized with the county's precinct-based tabulators. County has provided every password, username, and security key in its custody or control as commanded by the Senate of subpoenas and does not have any others. Well, you see, that last issue is very concerning. A company needs the administrative system passwords to run their systems. If true, then who does have the administrative passwords? This indicates that the county has ceded full reign of their election tabulators to some other entity. This puts the county more at risk than any of their concerns with sharing RATA data. This is actually appalling, but it is supported by testimonies held after the election. Some overall observations are, why does the county mix legal and election traffic on the same routers? Also, what did the county provide the previous auditors they hired to perform their audits? Or is this just another example of inadequacy of those audits? Once again, Arizona County, you know, Maricopa, is stalling and making it difficult to perform the audit of the 2020 election in Maricopa County. And the biggest question still remains, what are they hiding? All right, in other news, a large group of Iranian military fast attack boats have harassed six United States Navy ships now escorting a guided missile submarine into the Strait of Hormuz. Pentagon announced this earlier today. Large group of Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Navy, also known as, are you ready for this, IRGCN, yes, fast boats, conducted unsafe, unprofessional maneuvers, and they failed to exercise due to regard to the safety of U.S. forces as required under international law while operating in close proximity to the U.S. naval vessels that were transiting the Strait of Hormuz. John Kirby, Pentagon press secretary, said that, and he said that the Navy ships that were escorting USS Georgia were exercising the right of transit passage. So there. Well, let's see here. By the way, DeGeneres, I understand she's canceling her very popular talk show. Not the game show, just the talk show. So, Hillary, you'll have to find another place that loves you. Yes. What's Chelsea doing? Well, there can be no denying that the political left are intolerant, an authoritarian bunch. The Democratic Party that represents it wants to cancel the rights of anyone who disagrees with them. And showing that fascism is all in the family, Chelsea Clinton has joined the calls for social media censorship. After all, it's been a standard feature of her mother's bitter Twitter diatribe since she was rejected by voters in the 2016 election. Their heir to the Clinton political dynasty joined the team effort to save Joe Biden from an early humiliation by steamrolling any opposition of his goal of vaccinating 70% of the United States by July 4th. Well, at least he's got, July 4th in his little brain there, doesn't he? The Blackhawk announcer's Pat Foley. This is interesting. Chicago Blackhawks announcer Pat Foley taking heat for reference suicide during the team's season final. What he said is, I'd put a bullet in my head if I'd known we'd have to travel these players amid the legal COVID-19 restrictions. Wrapping up his 38th season, minutes later, said he regretted the words. I wished I hadn't said that. I'm sorry I offended some folks, and apparently I did. They did. Yep, the woke crowd came up, and they said he needs to apologize. Boy, I can't believe you said that. See, this is what you get today with the woke crowd in their private safe zones, etc., etc. And I say, be sure not to holler potato in a crowded theater, because I'm sure the faint of heart would just go bananas. Oh, by the way, my apologies to any monkeys that are tuned in. We'll be right back.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Kaanapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of two neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars. And they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN. You know, a moment ago I was talking about George Soros, you know, and how he put in all that money to get rid of the sheriff in Arizona. Well, listen to this. Los Angeles County Progressive George Soros-funded district attorney, you know, where he put all the money in, to elect George Cascong, has taken the death penalty off the table for a couple charged with murdering a 10-year-old boy by torturing him to death. Proponents of the drive to recall Cascong say the far left prosecutor is going easy on Heather Baran, 31, and her MS-13 gang member boyfriend, Kareem Leviva, 35, after his office dropped its bid for the death penalty this week. Baran and Leviva were charged in a June 2018 death of Baran's son, Anthony Alvalos, according to the City News Service. Both, however, could now face a maximum of life in prison without the possibility of parole. We've heard that before, right? If convicted, it's charged of murder and torture, according to the reports. Yes. Detroit's police chief is reportedly preparing to run for Michigan governor as a Republican challenger to Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Chief James Craig is reportedly readying a bid for Michigan governor, potentially providing Republicans with a strong candidate to defeat Whitmer in a high-profile midterm election. The top cop has served Detroit's police chief since 2013. Well, kind of interesting here. The latest official photo of the Supreme Court's current nine justices has been released, showing all three of Donald Trump's picks for the very first time. More than 5 months after Justice Amy Barrett was confirmed to replace Ruth Ginsburg, the court released its official portrait showing the nine justices. And seated in front is Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, John Roberts, Stephen Breyer, and Sonia Sotomayor. Standing behind them are Brett Kavanaugh, Alina Kagan, Neil Gorsuch, and Amy Barrett. Beyond that, the Supreme Court has been very busy lately. Yes, the Supreme Court ruled in an 8-1 decision that a Georgia's college speech code policy violated the First Amendment and that a student who was harmed by the police can seek damages. Chief Justice John Roberts was the only dissenter in the ruling favoring a couple of Christian students who challenged the university for restricting when, where, and how they could speak about their faith and disseminated materials on campus. Leave it to John Roberts, you know, the deciding vote in Obamacare, yes, also a Republican. Anyway, in the 7-2 ruling, the justices sided with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service thwarting the Sierra Club's bid to obtain documents concerning a regulation finalized in 2014, which was related to power plants. All right. Earlier this year, the court ordered lower courts in New Jersey and Colorado to rehear cases about coronavirus restrictions for religious gatherings after the High Court's recent decision not to allow New York to impose similar restrictions. And to the surprise of many, the Supreme Court refused to take up a case earlier this year from several Republicans challenging changes to election rules in a battleground state of Pennsylvania. The case was brought by former Republican congressional candidate Jim Bugnett and four individual voters who argued the state's high court exceeded its authority when it ordered the expansion of ballot deadlines amidst the pandemic. Well, all of this comes as Democrats are actively now trying to pack the court. Democratic officials reportedly preparing legislation to pack the Supreme Court with four more new justices. We're going to need a bigger boat. Yes, ironically enough, that is the exact number required to reset the current Republican majority on the bench. Yes. So if the Democrats can add four more justices, they would hypothetically have a 7-6 majority of the U.S. Supreme Court. And then you got Roberts, so it'd be what? 8-5, if my math is right. The legislation aims to bring the total number of justices on the court to 13. That lucky number 13. That should be a hint there. And Biden recently issued an executive order. This is what, 1,500 executive orders? That forms a commission that will perform a 180-day study of potential changes to the U.S. Supreme Court, including the court packing and setting term limits for justices. All right. Don't forget, streaming live, Facebook, Kimberly Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K. She's just around the corner with her latest report.
Fred Dreyer here. Join me at the Ramp Bar and Grill in Burbank, California. Now open with indoor dining. Monday through Thursday, noon to 9, Friday, noon to 10, and Saturday, 4 to 10. Happy hour weekdays from 2 to 7 p.m. It's the home of the $5 margarita, by the way. Start with mouthwatering charbroiled chicken nachos, the best cheesy garlic bread in town, steamed clams and delicious soups and fresh salads, the best burgers in town, and steaks, oh, you bet, yum. Ribeye, filet, even prime rib. Italian specialties too. Ravioli, linguine, cappellini, pomodoro, chicken parmesan, and a lot more. Save room for desserts too, including homemade cheesecake. It's the Ramp Bar and Grill, 7730 North Hollywood Way, minutes from Burbank Airport. Call 818-768-6499. Takeout and Postmates delivery too. Open Mother's Day from 1 to 9 p.m. Reserve your tables now. Call 818-768-6499.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling. The complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Let me tell you about my guest, Kimberly Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K. She is the award-winning National Security Border Security Investigative Reporter for TV, radio, and the print media. She is also the Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. We're going to get into some foreign stuff in just a moment. By the way, she has covered the news with an outside-the-beltway perspective. Her experience as an investigative journalist ranges from national security issues like Gitmo's Khalid Sheikh Mohammed 9/11 trial, immigration, foreign policies such as, so many issues, right? She is a TV correspondent for CW6 News San Diego, as well as One America News Network, her website, The KD Report. Hello, Kimberly, how are you?
I'm fine. How about yourself, Chuck?
All right, you sound very, very low here. Maybe I can move my level up a little bit there. By the way, let me see if I hear this. CC, madame, how are you? No, I just don't know that much French. But you being a senior foreign policy advisor, we are going to go to France on this report, and it involves COVID and a whole bunch of other stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And it actually could be a precursor for things to come in this country. As most people know, that France is the oldest democracy in Europe, mm-hmm. and they've recently been accepting all of these immigrants from Muslim countries fleeing the war zone, and slowly but surely, they have completely taken control of most of the suburbia around Paris and are no longer listening to the French authorities. They have instituted, in effect, like the no-go zones that we have those here in this country. and they actually, are, having their own, courts, and they're slowly eroding French society as, as people that immigrate there normally, like people come to this country. We hope they adapt to our ways, learn our languages, and, adapt to our lifestyles, whether it's buying a home or apartment, working, going to church, mosque, wherever you want to go. That's typically what we see when people immigrate. But when these refugees have come, France now is the very, the very first country. Germany's close behind it. That's taken the most of these refugees. And with that, there are billions of dollars in taxpayer money in France. I mean, the people that are working are actually paying for this because they do have a Marxist-like socialistic country where the benefits are plentiful. So people that are in, that come to that country, they're getting free health care, free school, minimum wage.
Can you hang on one second here?
Yeah.
Now, you're still talking about France, right? You're not talking about the United States southern border?
No, exactly. why this dovetails into this. And now you've got 20 generals in the military. And remember, France is not a very large country, so that's, a significant number of generals. And then a lot of the other rank and file that have written letters to President Macron, and the military now is pondering the idea of physically removing the president of France for getting the country into such dire straits. And then, the country would presumably be run by the military until they could go through free and fair elections again. But this is the people, the majority of the French people who are native-born, who have immigrated from other countries lawfully that didn't come as refugees for the most part, they do not want to see what's going on in France continue because these people have not come to assimilate. These people have come to take over the region.
Right. Wow. You know, it's sort of like it's the horse already got out of the barn, folks. And, I mean, this should be a wake-up call to America. But I remember whenever they first flooded it open, oh, isn't this wonderful what we're doing for all these Muslims that want to come in here? And then, what's going on in Israel, for example, Kimberly?
Oh, that's another country that's under civil war as well. Yeah, I mean, I read about that story this morning.
Yeah, and what I was going to say is we got three huge complaints coming out, and it's from the squad of congresspeople that we elected that are Muslims. That, hate what we're doing, and they're for the enemy. It's unbelievable. But
it's
people
unbelievable.
Just say, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, here's a quote, and I'm just going to kind of read it verbatim here. Mm-hmm. It's from the Austrian philosopher Karl Popper. And this is kind of an interesting, and it's kind of a contradictory thing, but I think it explains what's going on in France, in Israel, and in this country, and other countries across Europe. Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of intolerance, then the tolerant will be destroyed by the tolerance with them. So it's our tolerance and, our welcoming, especially now in the southern border, where we're watching TV crews every day at just one location, 900 people crossed 2 days ago. Today, so far, 700 people have crossed into the country, into the United States, over the Rio Grande. And those are the people that we get. There's a lot of people that, as you know, we don't apprehend. So then the reporting numbers are significantly more than what is actually being touted by the Biden administration. These people are coming to this country with no skills. They don't speak the language. And they're going to be a burden on the taxpayers. Now, I don't know how long a country can sustain this until the military gets involved. Now, in this country, we have our military elite, the generals, the four stars, who are actually globalists themselves and see no problem with this. However, the rank and file military are saying, this can't stand for too long. And if they were ordered by their superiors to fire among American citizens, they would not do that. So this is a fine, delicate dance that's being played right now in real time in France. And America better wake up to see what's going on that border down there, because that border is where we are allowing people to flood into this country. And again, these people are not, they don't speak the language. They have no skills. And, you know, I mean, we need highly skilled labor in this country. Mm-hmm. Most of them don't even have a sixth grade education, let alone a college education. So we're seeing an open border and a president and a vice president of the United States doing nothing about it. And if we don't stop and do something about it, we will be the next France. Because right now in France, it's a very real possibility that we will see the first toppling of a democratically elected president in that country that we have seen in a century or two. That just does not happen. And to see that the country has been taken over by primarily Muslims, and they're the ones instituting, we're going to do Sharia law, we'll have our own courts, you guys just keep giving us money, and we're going to live how we're going to live, and we don't care what you do.
Hey, let me tell you something, okay? First off, okay, the French generals, right, are, you say, and not so subtle hint that, what's his name?
They put an ad in the newspaper. They put an ad in the newspaper, so... It was a very forward leaning thing to do, because military tends to stay away from this. And then it was followed by another one a couple weeks later by the rank and file saying virtually the exact same thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's interesting because they're doing that, right? Okay, our military wouldn't do that right now, because I got to tell you, I've got a guest coming on actually today, Kimberly. Selwyn Duke, I think you're familiar with him.
Yep.
And his latest article is about how the left plans to put the boots on ground to subdue middle America. And basically, it's about taking over the military.
Yep.
And, go ahead.
I was going to say, and this, when you look at that and you pair that up with earlier this week, they had a big meeting in Congress, met with them, with the leadership of the National Guard. So, we're not supposed to have military boots on the ground in this country. That's posse comitatus. It's in the Constitution. You can't do that. You can use them to guard the border. You can't use them to guard the Capitol, White House, or anything like that. But the National Guard is there for that reason. Now, we saw them deployed here in Washington, D.C., for, 4 months, 5 months? I mean, I drove by the Capitol building in the White House area. Everything is still on lockdown. There are big fences all around it. Members of the media, we have no access to the U.S. Capitol.
And National Guard troops are still there, some of them?
Yeah, there's some of them still there. So that's how they're going to try to go about it. Again, I think within the military, the rank and file, they're looking at the whole situation saying, I signed up to fight for this country. I did not sign up to fight for a specific ideology, because they just, the majority of rank and file, they're very, very patriotic, very, structure-driven people that will actually, take a look at the situation. They will sum it up, and they decide what they're going to do. And then there's also a whole bunch of retired military people that have already been getting together and talking about what can be done, and if things go really, really bad. So that's why the France story is very important. It's playing out in real time. Something like that could happen here. It would happen a little differently, because, like I said, the majority of the generals are globalists, and they would not do that. But the rank and file certainly would. So it could come down to some sort of secession. It could come down to an insurrection. It could come down a real insurrection, not the fake one they talk about in January, and or a civil war in this country. People are not going to look at what's going on. I mean, we have lines to get gas back here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Gas has gone up $1.50 in the first 100 days of Biden's administration. People can't afford that. The people that get hurt are the middle class and the people who are poor. They can't afford this stuff. And you start seeing long gas lines, you start thinking Jimmy Carter.
And remember Trump, right? For the very first time in the history that we became, independently free.
Exactly. And the White House has not said, okay, we're going to get into tap into our reserves and ease the situation. Now, I know this happened under the Trump administration when the Saudi Arabians decided they were going to raise the prices. Then what happened is the Trump administration came in and alleviated that.
Right.
By using the reserves. And then as everything in this country got up and running and were energy independent, they no longer needed that. This is a situation that could be solved. But the Biden administration doesn't want to do it. If they want to think that people are going to love hanging out in lines to get gas so they can't get to work if they don't get in there, I mean, you know, it's very, very disturbing to see that the president is so disconnected. And today he's having a meeting on with the, you know, top four leaders in both parties, and they're sitting and talking about transportation and infrastructure. Yeah. No questions about, oh, what about the crisis that's going on at the southern border and the crisis within our energy sector right now, and the fact that they're directly responsible for what's going on with this energy crisis. They
you know, and I couldn't believe earlier today before I came down to the studio and everything, you know, I'm watching a TV report, and the big thing now is that they want to be able to change whatever it was that the President Biden said in a quote. If he said something, they want to say, we have the authority and we want to let you know that we can change the quote if it didn't really get across the point that we're trying to make, because he's saying the wrong things. You know, if they said something like that about Trump or any other president, really, you know, Kennedy, they would have said, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. It's fake media, because if the media is allowing them, and not only are they allowing them to change a quote, remember that they're actually sending questions over to be answered. So these people are not even like, you know, interviewing them on the fly to catch them off guard. So we have no idea. This is fake propaganda media. They laugh and they joke about Pravda and RT, Russia TV, being a state propaganda. You know what? This country is that right now. The major networks, the majority of the cable networks, NPR, throw them all in there. They are all just propagating what the government wants them to propagate. I'm on the email list. I get the stories. They're practically written for you, and all you got to do is sign your name under it and maybe change a couple words around, and bam, you've got a story that you don't have to work on. That happens.
Yeah.
Comes from the Pentagon, comes from the State Department, comes from the White House.
Wow. You know, Kimberly, what is it? You press one, is it for English? Press one for English? Yeah. And I look at your story here, all right, and demanding their own laws, their own schools, their own language, customs and religion, okay. We didn't really have too much of a problem, but then you think, see, there's a little bit, a tip of the iceberg whenever, you know, demanding their own language. See, press one for English, that's a pretty good start. Customs and religion. Customs, I don't know, you know, we're still celebrating, you know, Cinco de Mayo, that's okay. Oh, I just let it out who I was talking about. But thank God it's not as bad as France, you know. Yeah. Where they want their own. Yeah, go ahead.
I think you're heading to religion on this point.
Yeah.
And on this point in France, their churches are being burned down. Their churches are coming down, and they're being replaced with mosques. So people need to wake up to the fact, and I think that's what most people are looking at, who are saying, oh, we just opened our arms. There was a crisis in the Middle East. We wanted to open our arms to these people. We gave them everything so they would like us, and they want to be like us, and they'd integrate and assimilate and all these wonderful things. And they came for one reason, to take over the suburbs, surround Paris, which has now been done, put a whole bunch of no-go zones, basically, and if anybody goes in there that's not wearing, you know, the hijab and whatnot, you know, they're fair game. If you're female,
all right,
there's a lot of going on.
We're
going to
be right back. More from Kimberly Dvorak. You know, even London's having a problem. Kind of ties in with the same thing going on. But anyway, more from the one and only Kimberly Dvorak. By the way, it's thekdreport.com. You can go there later in the week, and you'll find this whole report right there. We'll be right back.
that a Q2 or a Q3 expense?
Dwayne's CPA went MIA. W-9. To keep his books and his sanity, he needs to find a replacement ASAP.
Hey, Johnny, have you ever heard of a fungible good?
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Restaurante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN Chuck Wilder with Kimberly Dvorak, Senior Foreign Policy Advisor for the Committee for Responsible Foreign Policy. And you're streaming live, right, on Facebook?
Yep.
All right. They haven't got you yet. Good. Okay. Haven't said anything. Oh, Facebook. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Nice, nice, nice.
<All right. laughs>
They probably got a little robot, you know, that picks up on certain words there and all that stuff. You know, I don't know. Do you think whenever it was first opened up to all these Muslim migrants that there was really, you know, like we're very concerned about them and what's happening to them and come on in and we'll take care of you and, you know, and we'll all get along and can't we all get along? And, you know, it is happening pretty well here in the United States when we bring in, you know, a lot of different people and cultures and things like that. And we do seem to get along. But then again, you know, we're a pretty big area, too, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to remember the land mass in France is a lot smaller. I mean, you know, smaller than the size of Texas. So it's not a directly huge thing. But I just wanted to say there were kind of like three things here to kind of finish out, you know, kind of, you know, to see where this is all going. Now, the first thing is that this country, after George Floyd and the summer of riots, or I'm sorry, the summer of love, you know, Americans and the Democrats, they went out there and they decided that we're going to be woke. And being woke and wokeness, and how do you describe wokeness? Well, it's actually like kind of a psychosis of mass hallucination because they're trying to make people think things that aren't actually real. And that opened the door to the Black Lives Matter people who are Marxists and communists. And that's not what this country was built on. And then you have to, you have to filter it down. When we do, as you say, we welcome. We have big open arms here for people that come to this country lawfully and want to assimilate. The majority of them that come lawfully do want to be here. And it's that human capital that makes our country. They're human capital. They're going to help our country. And people that continue to flow across, and the refugees, and now we're going to, Biden signed on, we're going to have four times more refugees coming into this country. Well, you and I talk about this all the time. And there are no-go zones, by the way, in the United States. There are a lot of them, primarily one in San Diego and one in Michigan with the small ice. So that's in Michigan, largest population, small ice, second largest in San Diego. And those are no-go zones. Police don't go in there. They don't go in there. So people, yeah. I mean, Americans,
you know, and also, like what you would think is a minor thing, you know, whatever it is, they blow the horn or the trumpet or something on loudspeakers, you know, when it's time to gather.
Call the prayer. Yeah,
but, you know, if you shoot off three fireworks, then they'll come and arrest you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Too much noise there. Yeah. You know, that part of the, you know,
no,
you cannot.
To...
Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead. I was going to say, you cannot make exceptions for one particular class of people and not for the other. You know what I'm saying? You can't show that much favors. But then that brings in the woke system again. So,
there you go. Exactly. And that could be the decline in our country. And what's going on at the border and the illegals that are criminals and possibly terrorists crossing the border that they don't catch, that can come back to harm us. So, it could be that history looks back on this time, and if there was some sort of, civil uprising, they're going to look back at the time and say, okay, well, it's because the border was wide open, they let anybody wanting to come in here, and they promised them free money, free health care, free school, while Americans had to work and pay for all that stuff. And then people start getting a little, edgy with one another, and that's creates this divisiveness.
We've run out of time. I'm going to tell you, when they start giving out free lottery tickets, yes, we're going to put our feet down right there. All right. Hey, we'll do it again next week. Thank you very much. Kimberly Dvorak, D-V-O-R-A-K. And the website is thekdreport.com. Be right back. CRN Digital Talk Radio. Chuck Wilder here to boss at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. When next we meet, Seton Motley, hyper-partisan New York Attorney General, demonstrates the stupidity of the bureaucracy. Comment periods. Now that's a long title. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, talking about the Palestinian rocket attacks on Jerusalem. Alex Newman from The New American and The Invincible Family offers hope against tyranny. Yes. Right now I want to go to the one and only Selwyn Duke, who is a writer for The New American, The Hill, Observer, and many other wonderful publications. Hey, by the way, he's also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning, appears on many television and radio shows. His website, SelwynDuke.com. All right. Too tired to go on there, Selwyn. How are you?
Yeah, that was some opening, Chuck. I love the way you roll that tongue there. That's great.
I'm very, very good at that because, being from the West Texas, southeastern New Mexico area, we learned how to roll to be proper and get along with a lot of people. So I can do it. Rolling rivers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. In Riverside. Now, hey, listen.
You could really...
Yes, go ahead.
You could really speak some good old-time British English that way, actually, and sound very classy.
I thought it was
Hispanic.
You should
do the whole show that way. That might be a new thing.
I thought it was Hispanic when you rolled your R's.
It generally is today, but I've done.
We have solved the answer now, which came first, the egg or the chicken, and thanks for being on the show. No, you know what? I got to tell you, I'm a listener. You got to hang in there for the whole hour on this one. Because we're going to tell you the hope for California's governor. Okay, that's going to be coming up in just a moment. And if time, and I think we'll do it, is Fauci killing Americans? Question mark. Uh-huh, yes. But right now, perhaps more serious, and you might want to close your windows and lock your doors, how the left plans to put boots on the ground to subdue middle America. Are we only talking about, you know, like Oklahoma City?
No. Yeah, well, it takes in a lot of territory, middle America. In fact, middle America is most of America, as you know. As you know, most counties in this country actually supported Trump. They vote Republican on a regular basis. It's just that they tend to be relatively sparsely populated.
And by the way, I think Hillary might have mentioned, you know, in like middle America is where most of those deplorables are, I think. Didn't that come into the conversation, the middle America?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, people like Hillary Clinton call it flyover country because, in their minds, only New York and L.A. matter, I guess, New York and California. But they're aiming to turn the whole country into New York and California. And really, that's what my article is about here. And what I say, Chuck, is that it was said during our Mideast military adventures that you can't really win a war, and this is considered a truism of war, without putting boots on the ground, right?
Right.
Because it's really hard to subdue a people completely from afar. And the thing is, though, it may not be too different with battles for civilization. Now, I stated, Chuck, in 2012, and this was even back then a long-developing reality, that the culture war was over. People were talking about the culture war, but I said, look, it's over. What we're seeing now is, quote, a pacification effort. Now, a pacification effort, as you may know, is something that occurs after a war. Like after World War II ended, we tried to denazify the country. That was a pacification effort. We did the same thing in Iraq. I don't know how successful it was, but we embarked upon a pacification effort. And the one we're seeing now is designed to stamp out the remaining conservative diehard guerrilla groups. As an editor I know at American Thinker, Thomas Lifson, wonderful man, put it back then, he said, the left is going from one sector of society to another, stamping out remaining dissent. Now, the only thing that's changed about this effort, Chuck, other than the fact that it's intensified, is that we have a new name for it. We call it cancel culture. But it's nothing new. It's existed for a very, very long time. And what is cancel culture? Well, we see it with big tech. It's upped its bias and it's dropped its mask. It's censoring people like us, right and left. We see this with corporate America. It's joined academia. It's joined the media and entertainment. All these entities now are on the dark side. They're pushing the left-wing agenda, and they try to silence dissident voices. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, well, this is terrible, and we know that this cancel culture has ruined careers. It's destroyed reputations. But it would be naive to think that the left is going to be satisfied with this soft authoritarianism, and that's what my article is about. Now, think about this. We've seen in recent times, actually starting full bore in 2008 with Barack Obama's election, an effort to remake the military. We've seen social engineering in the military, you know, putting so-called transgender people in the military, all sorts of left-wing programs there, now critical race theory in the military. But more than that, we've also seen a purge of top military officers. Obama did that, replacing generals. We're seeing it now with the replacement of certain people. But now, furthermore, the top brass in the military has become very politically correct for this reason. We're also now seeing the left under the Biden administration, Chuck, focus now on transforming the rank and file. That is what this whole push to eliminate so-called white supremacy in the military is all about. You know, you've heard about that. You say, oh, well, we have white supremacy in the military. It's a real, real threat. And we have to have a 60-day stand-down order to address it.
You know what? You know, and I got to tell you something real quick, Selwyn. Every time I hear about this white supremacy in the military, when you look at the Vietnam War, it seems like there were more white teenagers and more blacks than any other division in the entire war. I know it was mostly those on the ground, but you know what I'm saying? How could it be, you know, so white when you look at Vietnam, for example?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's no doubt about it. And as I point out in my piece, you know, this whole idea about there being a white supremacist threat in the United States is ridiculous. First of all, if this were a white supremacist nation, the people who are complaining about white supremacy, such as Barack and Michelle Obama and all the other left-wing activists, wouldn't be able to open their mouths. If this were a white supremacist nation, we wouldn't have a situation, and it's been this way for many decades, where 85 to 90% of our immigrants hail from the third world. The whole thing is ridiculous. And I'm well into middle age. I'll just put it that way, by the way. Won't provide specificity there.
Put it, yes. I was looking at my meter there in middle age, and I said, uh-oh. Okay, there you go. Hey, by the way, in Barack Obama, you know, it was so bad he was elected twice.
Exactly, you know what I'm, good point.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that even in this article.
No, very, very good point. Very good point. Well, my point is that I'm now well into middle age, and I don't think I've ever met a white supremacist. I mean, it's like looking for a unicorn. The whole thing is ridiculous, but what is going on here? Well, what the left is doing, is this is a common tactic. If you want to intensify the persecution of a minority group, Chuck, or some political opposition, what you do is you portray them, the persecuted, as the persecutors. Then you can leverage even more control over them. And that is exactly what's going on here. So they invent this boogeyman of white supremacy. Then what they do is they define anything and everything as qualifying you as a white supremacist. So if you support Trump, you're a white supremacist. If you're for securing the border and stopping illegal migration, you're a white supremacist. If you don't believe in affirmative action and critical race theory, you're a white supremacist. So basically, anyone who opposes the left-wing agenda at all is going to be thus branded. So now that they've done this, they can use this as an excuse, this white supremacy ruse, to purge the military of all opposition, all political opposition. Now, the thing is, though, why would you do this? Is this just an exercise, as I put it, in ideological nepotism? Okay, little thought exercise here, Chuck. If we were looking at a third world country where some new leadership took over and they set out to purge the military of all political opponents, what would you assume? Would you assume it was something innocent, or would you say, wait a second, we think that maybe this third world leadership wants to use their military as a tool to enforce their control, as a tool to suppress opposition, as a tool to cement authoritarianism? What would you conclude? Okay, now, is it any different if you see the same kind of process occurring in a developed country? And as I just outlined, this process is occurring here right now. Once again, we see the Biden administration, just like the Obama administration did, purging the military of political opposition. Now, why would they do it? Well, as I said at my opening, you can't control a people completely from afar. You can do a lot with cancel culture, but if you really, really want to control people, you have to be able to put boots on the ground, okay? Now, this may sound very radical, but let me elaborate a little bit. That's only half of the equation, the military. There are also other boots on the ground that you have to control, and perhaps these are even more important. The police. When we started hearing about a year ago, Chuck, about remaking the police, dismantling them, defunding them, reimagining them, that new term they came up with, I said right away, perhaps before anyone else, okay, I understand a big part of this movement is driven by dark, misguided passion because people are emotional beings. But there's also a Machiavellian motive here on the part of the more clever leftists. There's only one logical reason to want to remake or dismantle the police, and that's because you want to become the police. You want to become the police. So you attack local police. Remember, you attack the entities, Chuck, whose power you want to appropriate for yourself. That's what you do. So you attack the local police, okay, you demonize them to a point where you can eliminate them, but of course you can't do without police because that leads to anarchy, and anarchy is never a permanent state of affairs. You're going to have a vacuum, something's going to fill that vacuum, and what will fill it in this case will be the federal government. The federal government, under this thinking, would step in with federalized police, and then what kind of a situation do you have? Well, think about it. Right now, the left knows, and this is the real reason why it doesn't like the police. It knows the police, by and large, are a relatively conservative group, just as the military is, okay? The military traditionally would vote Republican. That's why the left has wanted to remake the military. But the police are the same way, even perhaps more so, and the proof is in the pudding, Chuck. We have seen in recent times sheriffs throughout the nation say, well, we're not going to enforce certain COVID regulations because we believe they're unconstitutional, or we're not going to enforce these new gun control laws because we believe they're unconstitutional. And the left knows that this kind of nullification will only become more common as the left's dictates from Washington and elsewhere become more onerous. So what does it want to do? Again, for this reason, it wants to replace the police. If you can replace the police, which right now are voted in by the local areas, okay, if you have a sheriff, he's elected by the people in your county, and most counties, as we said, are actually conservative, therefore most sheriffs are conservative, okay, if you can change that and install federal police, now what situation do you have? You can install left-wingers in these positions. They can be from 1,000 miles away. They won't have any ties to the local community, Chuck. And then they will clamp down on those white supremacists who are lurking around every corner with zeal. Can't
they?
And that's the,
Coming up on that break here, but I'll just say, and then we'll conclude with the rest of this. But sheriffs actually are your last stand of defense when it comes to law enforcement, because they don't have to do what a lot of your local people have to do, okay? And there was one sheriff that stood up against the Trump administration when he said, you got to go in there and get those guns. Didn't do it, and it went to the Supreme Court, and he won. That's an interesting story. Sheriffs, yeah, they're the guys that are standing up last, apparently. Selwyn Duke, The New American. We're going to continue with this one and many more very good ones from Mr. Duke. And it's Selwyn Duke, SelwynDuke.com.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy. Some uncle I never knew called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Kaanapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of two neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Kaanapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Kaanapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN. Always a pleasure to have the one and only Selwyn Duke from The New American, and it's selwynduke.com. And in this latest, you know, I was talking about the sheriff there, Selwyn, and I wanted to find the thing about Clinton, but I didn't find it in time. But anyway, I did find this. In the end, the sheriff is the highest government authority in this country, higher than any mayor, commissioner, governor, and even the president of the United States. And this means that not only do sheriffs have the power to refuse to enforce coronavirus mandates, they would be negligent in their duties to do otherwise. Thank you. That's it.
Very good. Yeah. You're right. I've heard that. And again, sheriffs are really the last line of defense. They're on the front lines. They're the ones who decide to enforce the laws or to not do so. And that's why the left wants to control them. We were talking about how the left is striving to remake the military and the police. And again, it's not a coincidence that these two entities are really the last two relatively conservative institutions in the nation. The left has already co-opted, Chuck, has captured academia, the media, entertainment. Most of corporate America, right? It's been cowed. All of big tech it owns. In fact, big tech is almost more left-wing than the people we're talking about. Yeah. So the thing is, like I said, though, the last two pieces of the puzzle from the left's perspective that have to fall into place are capturing the military and the police. And once it can do that, it'll have the whole kit and caboodle. Now, what is the utility of this? Because to a lot of people, this is going to sound radical. Well, what are they going to do? Send in troops? Well, understand something. We've already seen, as I said, nullification on the part of sheriffs. We've seen nullification on the part of states. Nullification is where you simply say, in the sense we're using it right now, no, this federal dictate is unjust, it's unconstitutional, therefore it has no weight of law, and we're not going to enforce it. Thomas Jefferson called nullification, Chuck, quote, the rightful remedy, unquote, for all federal usurpation of states' powers. And the left knows this very, very well because, in a way, it almost wrote the book on nullification. Mm-hmm. What do you think the left does with its so-called sanctuary cities that violate federal immigration law, or when the left ignores federal drug law, which is unconstitutional, but that's a different matter? The point is, that's nullification. Mm-hmm. So the left knows that the right in conservative areas is starting to nullify its agenda. It knows that more nullification is coming down the pike, that there's going to be this federal-state struggle between the left-wing federal government and these more conservative states. So what is it going to do? What it's thinking it's going to do is, okay, we capture the police so they can enforce our laws on the ground, and then if we have some recalcitrant states, well, if push comes to shove, maybe we will have to send in troops to bring them to heel. And this has been done before. I mean, this was done in the 1960s to enforce anti-segregation laws, right, in Alabama. So it's not as if it's unprecedented. We did have a civil war, so it's not unprecedented. This is the only logical reason why the left would want to take over the police and the military, as I said. Yeah. So it's not a joke. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's what's going on right now.
You know, and they could always say, you know, too many whites in the military. And then if once they figure on that one, and maybe it's not working right, there's too many conservatives in the military. Just a choice of words. You know, nullification, I've had a guest on from Louisiana just recently, wrote a book about the South and everything, and nullification and stuff like that, and secession. Because, you know, all of a sudden the United States of America is telling them, you know, you can't fly a certain flag. You can't have a certain statue. And it's sort of like, look, you know, we're not hurting anybody, and you can't celebrate, you know, any of your war veterans. You know, we didn't, 86, you know, all the Japanese after World War II or all the Germans, but all of a sudden, you know, it's they came down really hard on the South, and especially during those summer months. Coming up on this break here, Selwyn, this is excellent time, like you say, the time for talking with the left is long, long past. And perhaps the best way to prepare yourself for contending with them is to pretend you're dealing with Satan. Now, you're getting serious there, you know. Hey, shall we talk about saving California when we return? I mean, my goodness, there's hope right around the corner, right?
Yeah, absolutely, in the form of an ex-Olympian, right?
Yes, you get somebody that's in the Olympics. Nah, we're not talking about that guy that, I've already forgot his name there, Schwarzenegger. Yeah, nope. Even better looking than Schwarzenegger. Selwyn Duke, the new American. It's SelwynDuke.com. Be right back.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wounder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, the new American. And here we go. You know, Newsom, you're out of here. Yes, sir. He's got, I think, 45 days or maybe more to convince people that said we don't want him. You know, recall. I can't believe they'd do that. But now he's really worried because now you've got a qualified, absolutely qualified, no matter what sex you are, male, female, or I don't know, I guess, right, Selwyn?
Yeah. We're talking about this fellow formerly known as Bruce Jenner. Now he calls himself Caitlyn Jenner. But, you know, I guess he's really got a good angle here, Chuck, because he can appeal to all sorts of different groups. You know, when he's talking to a male audience, he can say, I'm a guy. Talking to a female audience, he can say, hey, I'm one of you. You know, and then who knows what else he's got up his sleeve there. But anyway, on a serious note, you know, I point out in my article, because my article is not really about Jenner. I'm citing this fellow, Scott Lively, who's a pastor and an attorney, and he wrote this piece that's very interesting. I recommend everyone read it. It's titled The Walking Political Disaster, formerly known as Bruce Jenner. But even his article is not really about Jenner. And here's what I have to say about this. If you look at California, Chuck, where you live, so you know this well, it used to be the land of Ronald Reagan. He was a two-term governor. He decided not to run for re-election in 1975. Otherwise, he might have been in power for even longer. But we know Reagan's reputation, mourning in America. He was pro-life, pro-school prayer. He was small government. And he made some mistakes. But anyway, he used to epitomize California. Now, many Republicans are pinning their gubernatorial hopes on who? The person we were just talking about, Jenner. Well, this is a person who doesn't know what his sex is, or he's confused about it, let's put it that way. He believes in amnesty for illegal aliens. Yet both Reagan and Jenner, this is very interesting, are branded conservative, quote unquote. Now, what's wrong with this picture? Okay, well, Scott Lively, who I just mentioned, talks about this in his article, and it's very interesting because, Chuck, he's singing my tune. He's talking about something that I've been writing about for years, and I always feel like a voice in the wilderness. But anyway, he contends that slippery slope arguments are now almost moot because we're at the bottom of the slope. That's what he says anyway.
Hey, let me ask
now,
you.
I don't agree with him.
Whenever I was reading this piece that he did, right, I didn't read the whole piece. But anyway, did he use the word muss, M-U-S-S, because I thought that was your creation?
No, I use that. I wish other people would pick up on it.
Yeah, well, I picked up on it. Yeah, I make a muss every time I walk. You know, I spill something. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not what. That's a mess. Yes. Okay. Well, a muss is a mess sometimes. There's your new title there, Selwyn. That's a new title for you. A muss is a mess sometimes. Okay.
Well, it's certainly a mess here, and that's what I call so-called transgenderism, because it's important to control the language, because the side that defines the vocabulary of a debate wins the debate. So I call it a muss, a made-up sexual status. That's what it stands for.
Yeah.
And what you could say here, Chuck, is no muss, no fuss. But anyway, okay, I know that was bad.
When you get two clever people like you and Tomas here, you know, I left me out, you see that, yes. No wonder the show's so great. Yes, okay.
Oh, Chuck, you're a paragon of modesty, no doubt about that.
But, you know, there is this thing because, you know, there's a lot. I would say there's more conservatives, you know, than Democrats. who are probably against Muss. But here we have this Muss is running for, you know, GOV.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know, Scott Lively, as I said, he says we're at the bottom of the slope. I don't really agree with him because you can always say, well, things can't possibly get any worse. Well, they might have said that in Weimar Republic Germany, mind you, but then they got Hitler. So things can always get worse, far worse. But Lively writes, and I think I'll quote him here because he puts things in perspective pretty well. He writes, quote, "At the top of the slope in the 1950s, we conservatives correctly predicted that normalizing porn and making comedies about marital cheating was a slippery slope that would break up marriages. In the 1960s, we correctly predicted that legalizing contraception on demand and promoting free love philosophies would turn the children of those newly broken homes into self-centered and self-destructive hedonists. When that hedonism led to abortion on demand and no-fault divorce in the 1970s, we called it a slippery slope to social and fiscal chaos. When the left wing pulled out all the stops to undermine the Reagan Revolution's efforts to restore normalcy in the 1980s, we predicted that the country would collapse into socialism and the loss of our family-centered society if they won. Then they did win. By the 1990s, the slippery slope of moral and ethical decay had spread to the Republican Party, and the establishment rhinos had moved so far to the left that JFK's legacy became conservative by comparison. We conservatives now had to fight the elites of both parties in warning that normalizing homosexuality for adults would be a slippery slope to the recruitment of our children in that lifestyle. By 2015, that battle was fully lost. Gay marriage, quote-unquote, was legalized by the Supreme Court, and a vast percentage of American school children had been fully brainwashed in Marxist ideology and, quote, sexual freedom. Lesbianism among teen girls was the most popular social fad of the decade, and increasing numbers of boys started wearing girlish clothing and defending, quote, gayness. Okay, so Lively says, well, now that we're legitimizing the Muss agenda, made-up sexual status, that's the bottom of the slope. Now, as I said earlier, I don't really agree, and I also don't agree that the 50s was the top of the slope, because, Chuck, I'm as much a fan of the 50s as anyone else, but by that time, we had already seen some social and moral decay. I mean, we had the Roaring 20s. That was a time of declining sexual mores, and the truth is that some people actually trace our problems back hundreds of years to the Enlightenment. And if you want to go back even further, Pope Benedict XVI said that the West's high watermark was the late Middle Ages. So roll that around your mind a little bit. But anyway, what's going on here? The point Lively is making, and the point I've been making for many, many years, is, well, how is it that we can call Reagan a conservative and Jenner a conservative, and we can go to Europe and look at their very, very liberal politicians, such as the British Prime Minister, and call them conservatives? Well, the reason for this is that conservatism relates to different positions in different times and places. In fact, as I've often said, liberalism and conservatism, and this must be understood, are not ideologies. They are processes. They are processes. Realize that. Liberalism, this is the only consistent definition of it, is the process of ever trying to change the status quo. Conservatism, and this is the only consistent definition of conservatism, is the process of ever trying to preserve the status quo.
Let me ask you real problem? Quick, when I read this, Selwyn, the definition, liberalism is a process of ever trying to change the status quo. Does that kind of mean they're never going to be satisfied?
Well, that's correct, and that's why they never are. They never are, and that's why you don't compromise with them, but I don't want to go out on that tangent. But the thing is, I'm not going to read too much more from Lively because how much exposure do we have
I'll
to give
tell
this
you
guy?
What, though, you do me a big favor, okay? You have somebody that you world famously always quote. Could I get a quote from him?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that good man.
Okay.
We'll get to that steak lover.
Thank you very much.
But I'll just quote Lively here. He writes, quote, "Conservatism, quote unquote, has always been a loser's game for those who forget what it is we're supposed to be conserving." And that's the whole point. You see, The liberals determine what the status quo is because they're the ones always proposing the change. And therefore, conservatives, when they say they want to preserve the status quo, what are they really doing? They're just preserving yesterday's liberals' social, moral, and cultural victories. That's all they're doing. Now, we have to realize here, Chuck, that this is why we see liberals will propose something, let's say at one time, and then 20 years later, you see conservatives are rubber stamping it. Social Security, and I don't want to get too deeply into that debate, I'm just using it as an example, right, at one time was a liberal proposal, and the conservatives many, many decades ago opposed it. Now conservatives accept it. Okay? You can take this with other things. Homosexuality, which Lively mentioned. Conservatives, when they first tried to normalize it, completely opposed that endeavor. Now conservatives, by and large, accept it. They just say, don't shove it in my face. And it goes on and on and on. And we're seeing the same process with so-called transgenderism, the MUS agenda. And this is why I say that California is truly lost, truly is hopeless, if it views Jenner as its hope. It's not so much about Jenner. It's about how we are immersed in this incorrect way of thinking, in this conservative liberal paradigm. And you mentioned G.K. Chesterton. He was that man we were referring to before. Yes. He wrote about this actually almost a century ago. In 1924, he wrote, quote, "The whole modern world has divided itself into conservatives and progressives. The business of progressives is to go on making mistakes. The business of conservatives is to prevent mistakes from being corrected. Even when the revolutionist might himself repent of his revolution, the traditionalist is already defending it as part of his tradition. Thus, we have two great types, the advanced person who rushes us into ruin and the retrospective person who admires the ruins. Each new blunder of the progressive or prig becomes instantly a legend of immemorial antiquity for the snob," unquote. Yeah. So this is the problem. Conservatives are the caboose to liberals' engine, their locomotive of change. Now, here's how it works. I said before that because liberals are always proposing the change, they determine what tomorrow's status quo is going to be. It's like this, Chuck. It's like you own some land, this big, big estate. I come to you and I say, I want some of this land. And I threaten violence and I'm shouting and I'm a pain in your neck. So you give me a little bit. You say, okay, I'll appease him. You give me a little land. The problem is that I'm going to come back a year later and I'm going to request more land, right? And you're going to say, okay, well, I'll be reasonable. I'll give you half of what you want, thinking that you can appease me again. Right. Doesn't work because a few years later I come back and I want even more land. And eventually I have all your territory. And that's what happens with the left. It comes back wanting more and more all the time. We're going to a break, I think?
No, actually 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you wanted to say something. My mistake.
Well, I was just going to say, with the land, and then I figured you were eventually the guy was going to say, well, you know what, I really want that land there that's got the water running through it. You know what I mean? Like the old cowboy days, you got to get the one with the water. Yeah, go ahead.
No, they want everything, okay? Yeah. And what actually happens in real terms is, okay, so they say, we want to normalize some new sexual behavior. And conservatives say, well, we'll be reasonable. After all, that's what good people do. They negotiate. So they give the left half of what they want or a quarter. But it doesn't matter if it's 10% or 1% because, like I said, the left is going to keep on coming back to that table over and over and over again until they get the whole kit and caboodle. Okay? That is why the left ultimately determines what the status quo of tomorrow is going to be. You cannot win wars, Chuck, by always being defensive. And conservatism, by its very nature, is defensive. It's in the word, to conserve. William F. Buckley said, conservatives stand, quote, athwart history, yelling stop. That's not enough. We have to not just stand there. We have to push back, and we have to say no. We want to turn back the clock, not to the good old days, but to the good old truth. Insofar as we have made mistakes, that means the left presenting those mistakes, proposing them, and conservatives consenting to them, we have to undo those mistakes. And the only way we can do this is, okay, you might say, if we're not going to view things as conservative and liberal and maybe libertarian, if we're not going to use that model, how else could we possibly define things? Well, there is another way. How, Chuck, did people define things prior to the advent of these terms, these political terms, liberal, conservative, and libertarian? They're relatively modern phenomenons. The answer is people define things in terms of, here it is, truth versus lies. Now, in previous times, this might have been called orthodoxy versus heterodoxy, or, dare I say it, not just heterodoxy, but heresy. But whatever you call it, this may blow people's minds. It's the only sane way of looking at the world. There's the truth, and then there's everything else. And everything else brings you nowhere. It brings you to destruction. But what we're doing today is we don't believe in truth, too many of us. We're awash in moral relativism / nihilism. So what we do is we go by Protagoras's old formulation, quote, man is the measure of all things. And we only judge things relative to the preferences of men. We say, okay, what is allowable based upon the political spectrum? Okay, looking at that Overton window, the range of acceptable political discourse, and we make decisions based on that. But that's not a sane way of doing things. That's like saying we're going to choose what a good diet is based not on the dietary laws governing man's nutrition, but based on what people happen to like. And if they happen to like junk food and things that will kill you, well, then we're going to devise our menu based on that because that's what's acceptable. Wow. That's what we're doing. We're being governed by preferences as opposed to unchanging principles.
See what happens when you just let someone run? Yep. This is not the script. Me, I got to depend upon the script. I kept waiting for three words to pop up, Selwyn, whenever you were talking. The good old days. That would be four, counting the good old days. And I think basically what that turned into was the Trump syndrome, how these people had such a hatred for Trump, you know? And look what happened to what's-her-name, you know, that just got kicked out there, Liz Cheney. Yeah. Isn't it amazing how the hatred of this guy, because he tried to make America great again, and I guess he did in a lot of ways. But, hey, we're going to be back, and I'll leave it up to Selwyn. We can get to Fosse. We can get to Enter the Dragon. An actress group wants Biden administration to task force the trans murderers, which are all based on a lie. Lots of good stuff from Selwyn Duke, selwynduke.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Does your current bathroom need to be updated immediately? Introducing One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling, the complete and hassle-free way to get the new bathroom of your dreams in as little as one day. And for as little as $199 a month. Yes, the experts at One Day Bath and Shower Remodeling will come to you anywhere in the country and show you all the customized options. Now you can have a brand new bathroom in as little as one day. Large or small bathrooms, if you want a new bathtub or shower installed, we can do it in as little as one day. And if you call right now, you you can save $750 off your remodel. We make it easy by offering you financing as low as $199 per month. Call now to schedule your free in-home consultation.
855-525-7454. 855-525-7454. That's 855-525-7454.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Columbo's. Columbo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Citizens, no need now to clamor for culinary gustatorial delights. Dreams do come true. Columbo's has triumphantly reopened its golden doors to feed the famished and soothe the savage beast. Bask in the delights of Columbo's succulent steaks, Neptune's superior offerings from the seven seas, Columbo's family Italian specialties, and, of course, their world-famous meatballs. And it's all so affordable. Yes, Columbo's, the ninth wonder of the world, the Southern California pantheon dedicated to unrivaled and unparalleled yum-yum. Columbo's, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mangia bene.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with Selwyn Duke, the new American. And you know, Selwyn, I had a thing here. It must have been one of the new ones that we did before, and I said, I got to save that. And give you a little extra plug there if I can find it. Boy, isn't it amazing when you never find it on the sheet you think it's on, and I think it's on this one, and it is. All right. Yeah. Follow Selwyn Duke on Gab, G-A-B, Parler, okay, MeWe. Now, I hadn't heard of that one. You know, I saw it. I've seen it a couple of times, MeWe. Do you have to be Indian to get on that one?
No, I don't think so. You just have to be able to log on to a computer.
All right. And is it like MeWe.com and you sign up and all that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a new social network, and it's more free speech oriented than so-called Twitter, which, by the way, still has me on suspension 2 months after instituting my suspension. They're just ignoring me. This is very
So you and Trump could have a beer together and discuss that, right? Because he's still on it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is, no, they haven't banned me. They just have me in limbo. It's like a new kind of state of being that they've invented now, just for me, I guess.
Wow.
I should be flattered.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I know Parler, now they charge you to sign up for Parler. Is MeWe free?
MeWe is free, absolutely.
I'm going to check that one out there, okay? And I'll say, So-and Duke sent me, and they'll say, uh-oh, now we got to start censoring. And then, of course, there's Gab, G-A-B, all right, and so very interesting. Very little time left. I was going to ask you real quick here, and I thought about you, and I was going to send you the email about a news story about the Blackhawk announcer, Pat Foley, Chicago Blackhawks, okay? And what happened was that he got a lot of heat on him, because they say you referenced suicide while he was doing the broadcast of the season's finale, and he said that he would have put a bullet in his head if he had had to travel with players amid the league's COVID-19 restrictions. All right, and they were wrapping up their 38th season. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, that's one of the common words used, you know. I put a bullet in my head, you know, if you don't start doing your homework, you know, I'm going to bust your ass if you don't clean up the yard. I mean, people are getting so, you know, and what I did, I made a comment on the air when I read it, and I said, you know, that's what you get with today's woke crowd and their private safe zones and all this stuff. So I said, be sure not to holler potato in a crowded theater, because I'm sure the faint of heart would just go bananas. See, and then I said, with my apologies to any monkeys that are listening, it is getting so unbelievable, you have to watch out every frigging word you say. Frigging, Chuck. I'm sorry. Yes, you can't use the F word, frigging, okay? It is so ridiculous, well, you know? It's
well,
like,
it is ridiculous. We're really becoming soy boys, and we're going to be easy prey for some foreign entity that's tougher than we are and one day surpasses us technologically, such as China, maybe. But, you know, I heard a very good quotation years ago pertaining to this. Don't be so thick-skinned that you're insensitive to others, but don't be so thin-skinned that you can't cope.
Wow, great ending there. Selwyn, yeah. Duke, I'm going to line you up for next week. I'll give you a call a little later, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Selwyn Duke, the new American. God bless you. SelwynDuke.com. Thank you, Tomas. Thank you for listening. And once again, God bless the United States of America.